This show is called Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. We encourage you to go out and hear live music and theater and see some dance now and then. On the program today, we have members of the McLean County Mandolin Society, and they're going to be performing with us for us in our studio. A little later on, we'll talk with and hear performance of pianist Rochelle Sennett, who is on faculty at the University of Illinois, and she's giving a recital at the Krannert Center in Urbana tomorrow night. And that's the show. Hope you'll stick around. That was music from Modest Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition in a rather interesting arrangement for Russian Folk Instrument Orchestra, which includes some instruments that I am assuming are members of the family of instruments that we actually have in our studio right now, though they have different names, like the balalaika and the domra, related to the mandolin and other such plucked instruments. And I have before me members of the McLean County Mandolin Society, who are in turn members, I guess, of the Classical Mandolin Society of America. And I'm trying to remember how I even got wind of you folks. And since I can't remember, I'll just not try. But I was put in touch with Martha Tyner, who is one of your members with us here. And Martha, do you remember how I...
I think it was a newspaper article that was about music groups that people could participate in.
Oh, I think you're right, in the News Gazette in Champaign-Urbana.
I sent information about
that. That's what it was.
And the next thing I knew, I heard from you. So.
That's what it was. They ran a very interesting article about, as you said, various ensembles that the community members could get themselves involved in, and this was one I hadn't heard about. And I guess you've not been around all that long, just 7 years or so, something like that. What made whoever of you decided to get together to play, to form a mandolin orchestra?
Well, we came out of an old-time jam. There's several of us that play traditional old-time string band music, and we started in Bloomington having a jam session on Tuesday nights, which I went to. Jim Cruiser, who's here, attended. Several people, and Jack Kelgard, who is our guitar player, who is also a classical guitar player and mandolin player, and he's actually the expert on the whole classical mandolin thing. I sort of knew it existed, had heard of it, but not that much about it. And I guess one Tuesday night, Jack just said to me, you know, I have this music, this classical mandolin music. Would you ever want to look through some of that and play with that? And I said, sure. And then Jim, I think, came along. So kind of out of the old-time jam, we started showing up early to that, trying some of this other classical music. And other players have come to us from different bits of news. The word just kind of spread from that. So we ended up having to set aside our own rehearsal time and took off on the classical mandolin thing out of the old-time jam.
So were you and some of the others playing mandolin in old-time groups, or were you playing other things in the old-time groups?
Well, I was playing fiddle, mostly. Jim's a mandolin player, but I sort of wanted an excuse to play more mandolin. It was part of it. I think, Jack, you came as a guitar player, or were you bringing your mandolin? You were bringing your mandolin to the jam. Yeah. And Amy came to the jam for a while as
And that's Amy Miller?
Player.
Yes.
So that's... We did seem to have mandolin players come out of the woodwork. There are a couple other mandolin players that still play the old-time jam who don't play with us. So there are more mandolin players in town.
The cockroaches that come out.
Yeah, kind of.
Well,
then we found Kevin, who actually lives here.
Yeah, I found you guys through the Mandolin Society of America webpage.
And we now have a player that comes up from Springfield to practice with us. I'm not sure how he found out about it. He couldn't be here today, so.
So there must not be an organization in Springfield.
No.
unless he just wants to this a lot.
There's an old time jam session in Springfield, which Jason goes to. So the musicians sort of, you know, there's this whole network of all kinds of acoustic musicians, and we find out about all the things that are going on.
Well, see, and I'm finding out about things for this show from, you know, the more people like you that I talk to, the more I found, I didn't know there was an old-time jam in Bloomington. I knew there was an old-time jam in Champaign-Urbana, which gives me a chance to plug to our audience here that I am looking for information on groups, jams, concerts, organizations throughout our listening area. So if you can hear me on the radio, then your excuse me, your community is fair game, and please let me know about your organization or whatever's going on. And you can do that most memorably, I guess, on this email address. It's willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's willcalendar@illinois.edu. And you can just send me more than just calendar items, but that's easier to remember than my own email address. The other folks who are with us, Martha mentioned Jim Cruiser and herself, Martha Tyner, Jack Kelgard, Jim Stanlaw, Kevin Vail mentioned. And Kevin, you looked familiar to me when you walked in. Are there other groups in Champaign-Urbana that you play in that I might have known about?
No.
No? You just are a closet mandolin player. not in anymore. The closet anymore.
He's out. Not after today. Well, you know.
Amy Miller and Jan Holder. Appreciate everybody's coming in, by the way. So you referred to the classical mandolin and said that Jack is kind of the expert in that. But what differs, you know, what makes the classical, what is the dividing line between classical and not classical when it comes to mandolin playing?
Well, basically, we're put together like a classical orchestra, or a string orchestra anyway, with the mandolin family being like the violin family. And we do a lot of the things the same. the music repertoire is transferable from one group to from the violins to or string orchestras to the mandolin family. Not all of it, of course, but basically we have to read music, and we have to we organize ourselves like an orchestra with first, second mandolins, so on. We have principal players.
So the first, second mandolin would be the equivalent of the first, second violin.
Correct.
In the string orchestra.
Uh-huh.
What equates to the viola?
The mandola, but mm-hmm. We don't always have access to mandola players, and an octave player, which is more common, they can take the mandola parts.
Now, what do you mean by an octave player?
Well, mandolin is, the octave is actually just tuned an octave below the regular mandolin.
So mandolin's tuned just like a violin. And
so
mandola's tuned
strings.
Like the viola. Yeah, except we have double strings.
Yeah.
And then the octave is an octave below the regular.
So you just kind of fill in the gap. And then we have the cello, which is actually called a mandocello.
Mandocello, uh-huh. Well, a hyphen or not, depends on, you know, how you want to do it.
How you want to do it. And there are basses, but we have no basses here today.
We didn't bring one. We debated that. In fact, my wife said I should have brought it, but we didn't think we could squeeze it into the studio because they are humongous and big and kind of windwaily, but they're beautiful in their own kind of ugly way.
Well, next time, bring along. We could squeeze in a few more feet of something in here. It's not a large studio that we have.
Sorry, I was just going to say we do have a bass player who plays a standard. He's actually playing a bass guitar with us most times. Sometimes we bring out the bass mandolin. Just couldn't come today, and the guitar is typically part of the orchestra, classical guitar that provides a lot of that accompaniment. And we have piano parts for some of our music. We have a piano player with us as we can.
But Jack has the guitar, so we've got four, what do you just call them, regular mandolins, just a mandolin?
Mm-hmm.
Mandolin.
Mandolin.
One octave mandolin and then one mandocello and one guitar. Why don't we launch into some music? What did you decide to play first?
Well, we're going to start with a polka from 1917, which is kind of the heyday of classical mandolin music, and it's called Silver Ripples. And it goes 1, 2, 1, and 2, and.
Silver Ripples, was that the name of that?
Yes.
That's a wonderful name. It sounds very ragtimey.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the era, that early 1900s. It coincides a lot with ragtime.
We had a group on here a couple weeks ago, I think it was the Ruthless Goats. And one of their members is a banjo player. And he was saying that before the mandolin orchestras, there were banjo orchestras. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that the mandolin orchestras essentially replaced the banjo orchestras in the social setting. And of course, he speculated that the people just really didn't want to hear the banjo in that greater quantity. But I was very intrigued. I'd love to see somebody get together a banjo orchestra at this point.
Well, there is a banjo band in practices in Morton.
Is there really?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I got to write this down.
Central Illinois Banjo Band.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're going to have to put me in touch with somebody there.
They're not so much classical banjo players, but kind of sing along a lot of ragtime songs, Up a Lazy River.
That sounds like fun to me.
They're very fun, very fun.
That sounds like fun to me. Yeah, I'll have to get more information about that. Or maybe we've got some member of the Central Illinois Banjo Band listening to this program right now. The show is live and local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we're visiting and listening to members of the McLean County Mandolin Society. here on Live and Local. Support for our broadcast today comes in part from Rodney G. Peacock, presenting Noontide Festival Month, June 18th through July 11th at Folding Auditorium, with music, poetry, and drama, highlighted by a concert by Rodney George Peacock and with his original drama, The Noontide Trilogy, July 2nd through the 11th. Information is under events at folinger.illinois.edu. How many of you are relatively new to the mandolin, just out of curiosity?
Oh, I think I could be considered.
I guess that is all relative. Amy Miller put up her hand. So how new are you?
7 years.
7 years? So that's new.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, who's our
we got organized.
Longest veteran? Longest playing
I've
veteran.
I've owned the mandolin since about 1980.
You've owned one?
Yes.
I have two.
And when did you start playing it?
Not really until the late 1990s, when I went to the summer school in Rhode Island. Marilyn Mayer, the mandolinist, ran every summer. It was a week-long school, and we had a mass orchestra, and we had individual seminars. And I got really interested in it after attending a couple of those.
So what appeals about the mandolin? Anybody can answer this. What appeals to you that compelled you to actually practice the thing?
This is the most exquisite of all instruments.
The most exquisite?
Of all instruments, of course.
They're just cool.
Mm-hmm. They just have a beautiful sound, and you know, it can sound, Monroe he made it sound loud and fast.
You're talking about Bill Monroe?
Bill Monroe, yeah. Made it fast and acoustic, so punk, you know, he brought it out of the classical and into the bluegrass era. And, you know, from Bill Monroe up through, up now we have Chris Thiele.
Thiele, yeah.
And David Grisman in between, and they have really created a new voice, I think, for the mandolin, as opposed to the classical.
I think that's probably, most of us probably first heard mandolin through bluegrass, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. Anybody? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how many of you play bluegrass on the mandolin? Two hands went up.
And I play slow bluegrass. I play with a little band called the Old Man Boys, and you can put that on your list,
I'll
too.
Write that down here. The Old Man Boys?
Old
but
Men.
Old
Men.
Old
Boys.
And yet...
I'm a woman. Right. Yeah, I'm not a man. Radio audience is
I just wanted
a woman
to get clarified
speaking.
There.
There are two women in the Old Man Boys.
Yeah, there's two of us, and there's six of us. And it's a play on, you know, the Oak Ridge Boys and the Sons of the Never Wrong. It's kind of a play on old-timey, you know, creative names for bluegrass bands.
Sons of the Never Wrong, that's a group in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But
I've actually heard that.
The gentleman that started that is from Bloomington.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I want to get
Bruce Roper.
Bruce, yeah.
Robert. What's his name?
Bruce Roper.
Yeah.
At a music store in Bloomington.
Did he really? Because I think they played in Bloomington not all that long ago, and I got wind of it a little too late, and otherwise would like to have them come
cool
over.
Things.
If they ever show up over there, let me know, because maybe we can get them to swing over here. It's not that far a drive.
He plays the guitar, but he has a mandolinist in his group.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, I've enjoyed getting to know this instrument a little bit. Do any of you have particularly old ones, or are they all newer creations?
This is an older one. This is 1919.
This is the mandocello.
It's a mandocello, yeah. Back in the heyday of the mandolin orchestra, as Martha was saying, Gibson was very good in terms of marketing. It's almost like the Music Man. In fact, some people have said the Music Man play was kind of based on the way Gibson would kind of go out and try and sell their instruments. And so in the 1890s, about 1900 or so, the mandolin was kind of like a common parlor instrument. And they'd been brought over from Europe with immigration and things. And then Gibson came up with the idea of taking that bowback Taterbug mandolin. You know, you probably have seen those big, you know, gourd-like bottoms, which are hard to play and hard to hold. And he found a way to carve them to make them flat and still project at the same volume. And they became instantly popular because people could play them easily. And from there, Gibson decided, well, we could maybe make voices of all the different registers. So they came up with the mandola and the mandocello and the mandobass. And they would then go out, and they had these sales representatives who go to these little towns with these instruments and sell them and offer lessons. And so many, many towns, I wouldn't say everyone, but I would say a good half of the small towns in America had like a mandolin orchestra or colleges. They were very, very common on college campuses, especially in the East Coast. Illinois Wesleyan had one. I think ISU had one. U of I also had one, too, back, I think, in the 20s. And so this is a representative from one of the typical instruments of that time. The teens is when you find many of these instruments. Martha, I think yours is 1916.
Yeah, my mandolin is a Gibson 1916,
I believe it is, yeah.
You're right there.
Are they still making mandolins, Gibson?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Are they the major maker, or is there no such thing?
Yeah, I have a new mandolin.
From Gibson?
A new Gibson mandolin, 2005.
I'm looking at pictures, courtesy of Wikipedia, of course, of four different Gibson mandolins, the mandolin, the mandola, the mandocello, and there's a picture of a mando bass on here. You can find all kinds of information. They mentioned a couple of other types of instruments, and the piccolo or sopranino mandolin.
Mm. Oh, I even have one.
You do have one of those? So that's just a really little one?
It's very small. It's a bowl back.
What, kind of like a ukulele or something like that?
Well,
similar
it's
size?
Kind of, but it's exquisitely built with inlaid wood, and it's hard to find new strings for piccolo mandolin. No.
Not that many people play them.
No. Mm-hmm.
Why does a mandolin have double strings? Each pitch has two strings.
Well, the reason for this is it's kind of the fretted equivalent of the violin, and to keep the sustain that you can easily do on the violin because you have that long bow, to keep that sustain you need the double strings so you can tremolo and try and imitate, in a sense, the same kind, I guess, of length of a tone that a violin might have. And it's easier to tremolo when you have the two courses. And also, too, it comes from a long tradition of double course instruments from Europe, like double course lutes, ouds, and other kind of instruments that have these two strings together matched in pairs, or sometimes in octaves.
But it's the same string, same pitch.
Yes,
usually.
Mm-hmm. It's basically a fretted violin played this way instead of under the chin.
Yeah, I wonder what's the probably don't want to explain the physics behind why it's easier to tremolo on one or on two than one, or sustain, because I'm not sure I understand why that would
be. Well, they vibrate sympathetically, so when you're hitting one, it's vibrating the other string, and then when you're hitting the other string, the one that you just left is not vibrating, so it keeps it like a longer...
Even if you're going really fast.
In theory, yeah.
Well, let's not go into the theory and hear some more music. These are members of the mandolin McLean County Mandolin Society here on Live and Local. What's our next tune?
Well, we're going to play a version of a German polka with a little bit of Latin flair. So it's called Beer Barolito, which when we looked it up, discovered was the name of a very popular beer in, I believe it was Venezuela.
Costa Rica,
yes. So, not sure how the whole arrangement came about, but we have Beer Barolito.
Well, here it is then, on Live and Local.
One, two, one, two.
Beer Barrel Pocolito.
Beer Barrelito.
Beer Barrelito. Here on Live and Local, members of the McLean County Mandolin Society, Jim Cruiser, Martha Tyner, Jack Kelgard, Jim Stanlaw, Kevin Vail, Amy Miller, and Jan Holder. And how many parts are actually playing? I'm sort of looking around and seeing if I can figure it out. It looks like Martha and Jim are sharing a part.
Right, we're playing first band.
Basically the melody. And then Jack on the guitar, you're playing a bass line.
I'm playing rhythm and a bass line.
And Jim, is that the same line, or are you playing a different kind of bass line?
It depends if I'm playing it correctly or not. it's probably more bass-like, but it's a bit more melodic than just, say, chords.
Okay, and then Kevin on the mandola.
Mandola, yeah. The octave, depending on the part, some places I'm playing the second mandolin part, only I'm an octave lower. And the next piece I think we're going to do, I'm actually playing the mandola part, which sort of straddles everything. Yeah.
And then Amy and Jan, are you sharing the second mandolin part? So you kind of like in a Baroque or classical orchestra where you'll often put the first violins on the conductor's left and the seconds on the right, whereas sometimes in other orchestras you'll put them next to each other, but this is your common configuration. How often do you guys get together?
We practice every Tuesday night in Bloomington, 7 to 9. We're fairly regular and prompt about it.
And how many folks all together? I'm looking at a picture of about 10.
Yes, right. If everybody's here, there's 10 of us. We'd love to be twice the size. That's part of what we wanted to make this trip, to see if we could encourage any more players, because the more the merrier. We have some other music that would sound better if we could have a few more players. We could add some more parts. We could do a lot of things.
You know, I introduced this by playing this Russian folk orchestra rendition of Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition, which is, you know, a really big post-romantic massive orchestral piece, well, fairly massive. And when you referred to the classical mandolin and then you've played two polkas, I thought, is that classical? Where does old time start? You know, are there mandolin arrangements of like classical orchestral pieces or classical string pieces?
Well, yes. Probably. I mean, there are pieces.
Absolutely.
There are classical pieces with mandolin parts. Jack and I have both at different times with different orchestras played a mandolin part in festivals of Rome, Respighi, right?
Yeah.
Respighi's Festival of Rome. And, of course, the one you hear a lot is Vivaldi's Mandolin Concerto.
But surely people have taken orchestral pieces and transcribed
and
them for mandolin.
I know there are mandolinists that play Bach.
Yeah, I mean, does your group have any of those, or are those sort of things that you...
We do, not with us today, though.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I was just curious. Is that the kind of thing that you could use more players to accomplish, make it sound better?
Definitely.
In fact, Butch Baldassare, you know, who was a wonderful mandolinist, would play Scarlatti and a lot of classical music.
But that's solo.
He would be accompanied by a guitarist, classical guitarist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever the classical guitarist would play would be, you know, in line with what the mandolinist. I imagine, you know, there are a lot of duo pieces.
One of the other things that happens, there is a National Classical Mandolin Society that has an annual convention, and several of us have gone to a few of those. Jack has gone many of the years, and we've gone other times. And part of that is a mass orchestra where there are over 100 players usually. Still pretty much is first and second mandolin part, a mandola part, a mandocello part, a bass part, a guitar part. Pretty much. And that's music that has been, a lot of it is music that has been written for mandolin orchestra. So that's the structure of it, but you do get a more orchestral kind of bigger sound, obviously, with that many players. It's very fun to be.
I want to hear a Mahler symphony transcribed for all mandolins. That would be a challenge.
Why not?
You'd have to invent some different kinds of mandolins, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm not sure we'd duplicate every brass part. We wouldn't have the brass parts.
Obviously, they're limited in dynamics and sustain.
Yeah.
So
we'll just get more of them. Then you got your dynamics.
Take turns playing.
There you go.
If somebody wants to get involved in your group, what's the best way to do it?
probably get in touch with me. Should it be me or Jack?
Yeah. Well, let's just pick one phone or email.
Okay, so if you want to use an email, you want to use mtyner@iwu.edu.
That's for M. Tyner, Martha Tyner, M-T-Y-N-E-R at IWU for Illinois Wesleyan University, dot edu. And, or if you forget that, you can always email me at WYLL and I'll refer you to Martha.
There's one other way, too. You can go to the Classical Mandolin America website, and under features, it lists all of mandolin orchestras in the country. And you can click on our McLean County Mandolin Society and see contacts, who it'd be Martha or myself, yep. And get some information about the group at the same time.
Yeah, and both your phone numbers are listed on that site.
I believe so.
Or you can just Google McLean County Mandolin Society. Mm-hmm. It'll take you right to that page. That's how I found you.
Oh, okay.
Just the Classical Mandolin Society of America, but takes you directly to your page. It's not, it's not a complicated page. It just has pictures of all these people in front of me, except for Jim. Or rather, except for Kevin. You're not on this picture.
We had personnel changes since that picture.
That was before Kevin.
Well, we have time for another tune. Time flies
yes.
when we're having fun, as they say, and
so
I'm certainly enjoying it.
Should it be The Wedge?
The Wedge.
That'd be a wedge.
Whatever's your big climax piece.
This is our big climax piece.
Okay.
We have taken to calling this our encore, whether anyone asks for one or not.
Well, that's fair.
When we play.
You just don't give them time to breathe.
This one, whether they're inclined. This is another one from that whole mandolin orchestra heyday. So it was composed and arranged for mandolin orchestra. It's called The Flying Wedge, which our scholar Jim Stanlaw learned is named after a fairly fatal football formation in the early days of
fairly
football.
Fatal.
The flying wedge was lethal to the football players that encountered it on the field. So it actually was a formation that was banned in later organizations.
Well, I hope so.
But it was so thrilling that Kate Dolby wrote a gallop, actually, about it.
But mandolin orchestras don't actually try this in formation.
We haven't.
Against other mandolin orchestras.
I've suggested that if we ever did make an album, we would form ourselves in the Flying Wedge formation for the photo on the cover.
And that could be the name of your
album. We may not get to that point.
You can always try.
So this is The Flying Wedge.
One, two. Flying Wedge, played by members of the McLean County Mandolin Society, who are Jim Cruiser and Martha Tyner on the first mandolin, Jack Kelgard playing guitar, Jim Stanlaw on the mandocello, Kevin Vale on the octave mandolin. Was this one where you were playing a mandolin, a mandola part?
Kinda, sorta. Yeah.
And Amy Miller and Jan Holder on the second. I keep wanting to say second violin, but second mandolin part. And if you want to get involved in their weekly sessions, they're Tuesday evenings in Bloomington at the Academy for Music and the Arts. And you can just go to their web page. Easiest, I think, is Google or use your browser, McLean County Mandolin Society, and it'll take you right to their page and come up with a couple of contact numbers. Thank you very much for coming in. It's fun
Thank
to hear you.
Thank you for
Thanks.
Having us.
We have among the other performances in our area in the next couple of days, the Ruthless Goats, who I mentioned earlier, they're going to be at Kickapoo State Park on the landing in Oakwood tonight at 5:30, weather permitting. The musical Showboat is at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. That's tonight, and I think they have a performance tomorrow at 8. Actually, they have a matinee tomorrow at 2 as well. George Turner playing jazz at V Picasso in downtown Urbana tonight at 6 o'clock. Joni Dreyer and Dave Cooper playing at Senator's Pub in Champaign. That's at 7:30 tomorrow. Hope I say this guy's name right, Joe Asselin, at Blues, Brews, and Barbecue in Urbana. It's the Cherry Jam Series at 11:30 tomorrow. And the Decatur Young Park Singers are performing at Crest Haven Park in Decatur tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night at 7:30 in Urbana at the Krannert Center, pianist Rochelle Sennett is giving a recital, and Rochelle will be my guest in a matter of minutes here on Live and Local. Our show today comes with support from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with an international selection of chocolates, cheeses, oils, balsamic vinegar, jams, spices, barbecue sauces, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. And thanks, as always, to Mike Pritchard, our sound engineer for Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. That's music from Maurice Ravel's Mother Goose, originally for piano four hands, or is it two pianos, do you know? Two pianos. But obviously arranged here by the composer for orchestra, played by the Orchestra of Paris, conducted by Serge Bodo on WYLL. FM Urbana, you're listening to Live and Local here on FM 90.9, and I just asked Rochelle Sennett for that clarification. She's my next guest, and we'll chat in just a moment about her recital tomorrow night at the Krannert Center in Urbana. But first, I have to tell you that the Storm Prediction Center has issued a severe thunderstorm watch for portions of central Illinois, effective until 9 o'clock tonight. In our severe weather coverage area, the watch includes Champaign, Coles, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, and Vermilion counties. Remember, a severe thunderstorm watch means conditions are favorable for severe thunderstorms in and close to the watch area, and we encourage you to keep an eye on the sky for threatening weather conditions, and stay tuned to FM 90.9 for the latest weather information and any possible warnings that may arise. Severe thunderstorms can, and occasionally do, produce tornadoes. Repeating, a severe thunderstorm watch is in effect for portions of central Illinois until 9 o'clock this evening. Rochelle Sennett is on the University of Illinois faculty in Urbana-Champaign in the School of Music and the Piano Division. and was supposed to be teaching as part of the Summer Piano Institute, which unfortunately got canceled, didn't have enough enrollment. And by the way, if you were planning to go tonight to a recital for the Institute by a pianist, Boaz Sharon, that has been canceled. So that is not happening. However, Rochelle's recital is happening tomorrow night at 7:30. And those who heard William Hylas last night heard a lot of Bach, and I guess they're going to hear a little bit more from you tomorrow.
Yes, Bach, English Suite, on piano, though.
Oh, on piano. Now, it's a different English Suite than he played in harpsichord.
Yeah, he played a different one. He played the one in F major.
Yeah, and
the fourth one, and I will be playing the sixth one.
Have you done any harpsichord yourself, or you're
Yes, I have. I have studied harpsichord. I studied quite a bit when I was an undergrad in San Francisco.
And why do you choose to play Bach on the piano?
Well, I really don't have a preference between the two. I like to hear it both on harpsichord and piano. They're both do present their challenges, particularly with piano because it wasn't intended for that particular instrument. But I am open to either instrument.
So you sometimes still do you still do some harpsichord?
No,
now
not
and
so
then?
Much anymore. Not so much anymore.
You pretty much focused
on piano for now. For now.
Well, we got Bill Hylas to talk a little bit about some of the differences of playing, and that was really quite interesting to hear about how the touch, you can in harpsichord, you can feel so connected. I guess you're almost literally connected to the sound because of the mechanics of the instrument.
Yes.
But you've also spent a fair amount of time doing some newer music, as has Bill Hylas for that matter, and not necessarily exclusively African-American, although you have done some. And in fact, we have a piece by an African-American composer from your most recent recital. But talk a little bit about some of what you like to explore besides some of the standard piano repertoire.
Generally, I like to explore anything that's not performed as often. And I'd like to always delve into the reasons why it's not performed as often. So that's my biggest sort of motivation for choosing works. And so sometimes I like to choose living composers, particularly.
Just because. Nobody else is doing it?
Maybe not as often. Yes. I like to sort of become the sort of spokesperson for maybe newer works or maybe works that haven't been performed as often or hasn't been performed in recent years.
Are there any composers that you have begun to champion particularly?
George Walker. Actually, I just met him a couple of weeks ago at his home in New Jersey. I will be recording his piano concerto in September.
Really?
With Ian Hobson conducting. And so we'll be recording with the orchestra in Poland. So I went to New Jersey a couple of weeks ago and worked with him on extensively on that piano concerto. Spent about 2 hours. Wonderful person and musician. So it was really a pleasure to work with him.
How old a guy is he by now, George
He's about
Walker.
88.
I was going to say, I thought he's got to be up there by now.
Yeah, he's about 88.
I've heard parts of different pieces of his and got a chance to conduct, what is the name of the piece? Is it an Lyric for Strings?
Oh, he won a Pulitzer Prize for that.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful piece, kind of in the vein of Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings. It's sort of in that, at least a similar mood. Mm-hmm. But some other music of his is really quite different from that. The piano concerto, is that would you say a more modern sounding piece?
Definitely. It sort of has a little, if I were to compare it to composers, which I hesitate to do, and he hesitates to, you know, for me to do that, but I guess the best way to describe it would be a little bit of Webern. So there are moments of pointillism, sort of, yeah, all over the place, exploring different registers. Then there's a little bit of the motoristic aspect, so it's very much, you'll hear a little Russian style in there as well. But then it's very much distinctively just Walker. So what he said to me once was his goal in a composition with the later works was just to obliterate tonality. So it's just a lot of clusters, a lot of seconds, and very dissonant. But what holds the work together is that he very much sticks to standard forms, what we expect, sonata form, rondo form.
And I imagine that makes it especially challenging to play.
It's hard to play, and sometimes, a lot of times, because there's nothing to hold on to in terms of tonality, hard to remember.
That's one of the things that amazes me about people who play certain kinds of newer music is the memory. I mean, I'm amazed that people can memorize much in the first place, but when it doesn't have some of the traditional structures, you've got to find other ways to grab onto it and hold onto it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I think. Tell us a little bit about Leslie Adams, who you played on your recital in March.
Leslie Adams is also a living composer. He was born in 1932. He lives in Cleveland, Ohio. I met him on one occasion a couple of years ago when I was working on my dissertation. He's one of the composers I wrote about. And I played the first piano etude. There's 24 etudes. The first one was from 1997 as a project he completed over a span of about 10 years. And this one is very much lyrical style, very different from George Walker's style.
And this is Rochelle Sennett performing at the Fullinger Great Hall at the Krannert Center in Urbana last March, March the 2nd. And it's the Etude in G Minor of Leslie Adams here on Live and Local. We'll hear some of the piece and come back in just a bit. I wish we had time to hear the entire piece. It's an etude in G minor by Leslie Adams, American composer, a male, born 1932, performed here by Rochelle Sennett from her recital in Urbana from last March. And she's going to be playing at the Krannert Center tomorrow night at 7:30, a free program, I think. People can.
It is not.
Oh, it says right here that it is not even close, but it's also not terribly expensive. Tell us a little bit about the program, since we have just a couple of minutes here.
I will be playing, as I said, the sixth English Suite by Bach on piano, and then I will be playing a modern work by Lowell Lieberman. It's a work from 1989 called Gargoyles, and I will conclude with the second half, Ravel Mirois from 1904-1905.
And that's actually why I introduced this conversation with some as it turns out, orchestral Ravel. I didn't want to introduce you with some other pianist playing. Talk a little bit about the Lowell Lieberman piece. Why Gargoyles? Why that name?
Gargoyle is she just chose the titles from what I know, but it's a four movement work, very different and distinctive styles. It's very much almost like a sort of sonata, four movement sort of work, which you would expect from, say, a sonata form. You have a fast, then you have a slow, then you have sort of a medium, then a very fast, very motoristic type of work. It's a fun work to play.
You think of the name like that, you know, you picture a gargoyle as being this sort of grotesque kind of cement creature or whatever it might be made out of the top of an old cathedral or something.
Which you'll hear that in so the last one in the first one and the last one. So like Mirwa, it doesn't come, there's no literary sort of reference to either of the works.
Well, it sounds like an interesting program of good variety there. And it's tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Krannert Center, Rochelle Senate. Sorry we didn't have a little more time. I would have liked to have heard some of the Mozart from your recital in March, but we'll have to save it for another time.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And best of luck with the recital. You're listening to WYLL FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana. Besides a severe thunderstorm watch in effect until 9 tonight, showers and thunderstorms are likely this afternoon. High of 82, currently at 80 degrees. Stay tuned for the Writer's Almanac.